Chof Gimel Nissen, Yisuchag, 3rd of April, Rabbi Yossi Lewin, buying and selling.
No. Fishus, Fishus of Moiri, the Kola, Kola Kol. I'd like to, before we start, just want to say this Divrei Torah we speak today, Be'ez Hashem, should be in Nishmas, my grandmother, my father's mother, whose Yahrzeit is today. And also the Nishmas, my husband and my grandfather, whose Yahrzeit is on Sunday. So this should be the Nishmasom. We should have Ali and Nishoma in Gan Eden. And Shaila, though it says buying and selling in the on the sheet, it's nothing to do with taste of buying and selling Mechiras Chometz. Buying and selling some property. The Shaila was, a few years ago, happened in Eretz Yisrael when someone moved a Dira. Now in Eretz Yisrael, people are moving Diras the whole time, like hotcakes, like this Dira, next Dira. And lots of Shailas could come about, lots of Shailas, different types of Shailas go about. The following Shaila happened in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago. Someone moved into a Dira. And he saw something which he thought he needed for his, when he stayed there himself. It was a fence for the balcony, whatever. It was something he needed. So the incoming tenant said to the outgoing tenant, "Can I buy this off you?" No, she said, "Yeah, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I need it for myself. I need it for my Dira. But I'll do you a favor. I'll sell it to you. You pay me for it. This is how much it costs in the shop. And I'll go with that money and buy a new one in the shop for my Dira, which I'm moving to now." So he sold it to him, whatever the price was. And that was it. The sale was done, finished. Comes along 2 months later. Everyone settled in their respective apartments. And the outgoing tenant comes back to the other one and says, "You should know that although we sold it for that amount of money, how much it was, 50 shekel, 100 shekel or something, I went to the shop and it's taka worth more than I thought. It's taka worth more. And I never sold to you al daf that I should lose money. I was just trying to do you a favor. I didn't want to lose money here though. So would you please pay me the extra amount of money, the difference, what it's worth?" So the incoming tenant wasn't so sure. The deal's been done already, everyone's moved in, the money's been paid, he doesn't want any more expenses on his head. He didn't know whether he had to pay or not. So he went to the Rav, and the Rav says, "Yeah, the psak was given that you have to pay the extra money, you have to pay the difference to the outgoing tenant. Yeah, he's right, he's got tviya, he's a good tviya, and you have to pay the money." That was the psak, that was the story. So, Be'ez Hashem, after try and work on the, go into the sugya, into the different shailas, what the background behind this psak, the background behind the story. So the first Gemara one has to look at, the Chayra, which everything comes from that, everything is rooted in this Gemara. It's Gemara in Kedushin, Mem Tes on the base, which says the following Gemara. There was this man, he sold his nechosim al das to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was doing aliyah, I don't know where he lived, but he was trying to do go to Eretz Yisrael. He sold all the nechosim, his house, all his property, everything. He sold everything. Comes along 2 days before he was supposed to go, and an oinus happened, an accident happened, and he didn't end up going. So he was stuck with no house, no property, nothing, and he wanted to take everything back. Says the Gemara, Rava, "No, since at the time of the sale, you didn't say anything. He didn't explain to the buyers why he was selling the Nechosin to go to Yisrael. He was selling the Nechosin because he wanted to go to Yisrael. The Mechira was done. He was selling his house, he was selling his property like people do, buying and selling. He didn't explain because he was selling it on condition al das to go to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, says Rava, this is a case of Dvorim Shebelev, and Dvorim Shebelev ain't a Dvorim. Since you didn't stipulate the condition with your mouth, with a pair, you only kept it in your mind, in your heart, and you didn't say it in the Furush. So therefore, it's a problem of Dvorim Shebelev, which have no relevance to the outcome of the sale. So therefore, it's Dvorim Shebelev ain't a Dvorim, and it can't, even though in his das was only to go to Eretz Yisrael, it cannot play any role to the sale. That's what the Gemara says. So therefore, if we first go back to our Shaila, in this case of the sale of into the between the two tenants, in our case, actually, he did explain why he was selling it. But if he was just selling it, stump, he said, you know what, you're moving into my dira, I've got a good buy for you. I've got a good buy, buy this fence for 100 shekel, buy it off me. And he didn't explain what he was planning to do with that money himself to go buy a new fence for his new dira. If he wouldn't have said anything, and later on he would have said, oh, you know what, by the way, I was only selling it to you on condition that I can get money for myself to buy for my new dira something new. So if he wouldn't have said anything, the Gemara says Dvorim Shebelev ain't a Dvorim. You can't retract, you can't take back a sale, you can't add any condition onto a sale after you've sold it. It's too late and the sale's done. So that's Lefidus Gemara here. And also, you wouldn't be able to tie a mekach tos or anything. A mekach tos is, for example, where the Gemara says if someone goes to a shop and he wants to buy wine, and he opens up the jug or the flask which he bought, and it was vinegar. So that's complete mekach tos. He bought completely the wrong thing. The sale was done on completely the wrong thing. Here, the sale was done completely right. The price was a genuine price. It just happened to be in the shop. It was worth a bit more. There's no mekach tos in l'choyo. Just agav as we go along. Before I left Eretz Yisrael, I was discussing this story with my rov, Rav Kopshitz. He's a rov in Ramema. And although this shaila is talking about 100 shekel, 200 shekels, he said to me, you know, let me tell you another story which is similar to this, similar problems, and it was, we're talking bigger money. He said when he had a yeshiva, he's got a yeshiva in Bnei Barak, and he went collecting in Mexico. So he went, someone came up to him and he said, listen, I've got a shaila for you. So what's the shaila? He says, I had a property worth $250,000, and I wanted to sell it, I didn't have any use for it anymore, and so I put it on the market, and someone came up to me, an agent came up to me and said, you should know, I've got a buyer for you for $270,000, $20,000 more than you want, and I'll tell you the truth, you better do it quickly, because otherwise it's gone. So of course he went and did it quickly, he needed to make the money as quick as possible, he thought, it's a good deal, might as well do it. So he sold it, and deal's done for 270. He comes along a few months later, and he realizes what had happened. There was a building block next door, his building, office block, which wanted to expand, and they were willing to pay all residents, neighbors, at least, I don't know, double that, let's say $400,000, I think the price was. And the agent knew, he didn't know what was going on, but there was something going on. And this buyer came to my Rav and says, listen, I want to retract on the sale. The sale was done under false pretenses. I thought this is maximum 270, and there people knew that you could get much, much more for it. I want to retract on the sale. So that was the shaila. So this shaila could be not only with 100 shekel, 200 shekel, we're talking $100,000. All these sugyas need to be learnt also for these type of shailas as well. The psak in that case, I don't know what the psak was, so I can't really speak about it. That's the stage agent. I can't say the psak in that case. But we see the shaila is relevant to lots of different cases it can be. So we were holding that if you didn't say anything on the sale, then any tonight, anything you want to change on a later date, cannot be changed because it's Devarim Shebayim Zohar. So what is someone supposed to do if someone wants to change something in a later date and change a deal, change something with a sale in a later date? So the answer is, he has to make it tonight. He has to make a condition, b'shas the mecher, that if this and this happens in the future, then okay. If it doesn't happen, then it doesn't work. And he has to make it tonight. However, it's not so posher. Tanai is a chiddush at Torah. A Tanai is a chiddush in the Torah that one can mevatel a maisa if someone does a sale or matona, mechira, any chalois he does, and wants to mevatel it and change it in a later day. It's a chiddush at Torah. And there's halachas to a Tanai. You can't just make a condition just like that. There's rules to follow in the conditions which you make. Because the whole, all hilchas Tanai is learned from Tanai b'nei God b'nei Ruvein. When Klal Yisrael were going into Eretz Yisrael, B'nai God, B'nai Reuven said they wanted to have the land Eva Hayadim for Eretz Yisrael. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, no problem, you can have that land, but on condition that you fight in Eretz Yisrael with the rest of your brothers in Eretz Yisrael. So says Moshe Rabbeinu. So we learn from there, Moshe Rabbeinu said, he made a Tanai Kofel. He didn't just say, if you fight, then you'll get the land. He said, if you fight, then you'll get the land. But if you don't fight, you won't get the land. So the Gemara learns, the Mishnah is, we learn from there, that it's not enough just to say one side of the Tanai. You have to say two Tzadim. You have to say Tanai Kofel. If you don't fight, then you won't get the land. Every Tanai has to have a Tanai Kofel. So therefore, seems like from here that if someone wants to change a chalois, a sale, or matona, change any condition he wants to do, wants to change in the future, he has to have a tanai, which means he has to have a tanai kofel. He has to say his condition clearly. If you say if this happens, then yes. If it doesn't happen, then no. So in our case, with this case of the sale, l'chora it should come out that he should say, listen, I'm sending it to you for 100 shekel. I'm sending you whatever it was, 500 shekel, but on condition that it's the right amount in the shop, and I can buy a new one with it. But if it's not the right amount, then I want to retract on, or I want you to add on and pay the difference. It's not enough just to say what you're trying to do here. You have to say clear condition with a tanai kofel, with toot stodim in the tanai. So how could it be? So we're stuck now, l'choyo. How can it be that the psak is that you need to, that the person needs to pay the difference of the money, even though the seller did not clearly state two stodim of the tanai kofel? So one answer a person that you could give is that for etzem, this tanai kofel, some rishonim say that tanai kofel, a double tanai, is not needed in all cases. It's only needed in Yisurin. For example, if you make a condition in Gittin or Kiddushin, these are the types of cases where you need a Tanai Kofel. You need two to speak out both Stodim of the Tanai. But if you're dealing with momentous cases, monetary matters, then some Rishonim say you don't need any Tanai Kofel. You don't need any double condition.
So
Tosis Fet, that was the posh kasha on that. The posh kasha in that is that the whole case of Tanai Kofel is learned from Tanai Bnei God of Bnei Reuven, which is momentous itself. Getting land is the best momentous case you can have. And that's good for where we learn Tanai Kofel, Bnei Kofel. So that's one kasha on the shita. There's answers which the Rishonim give, but anyway, halacha lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskens and the Rambam paskens that even by momentous, if you need to make a tanai in any case, you need to make a tanai, then you need all hilchas tanoim, which includes hilchas tanai kofel. You do need tanai kofel by momentous. So therefore, that l'chayra wouldn't really help our shayla why you wouldn't need a tanai kofel. So therefore, l'chayra, the answer is why. In this case, you would not need a tanai kofel. It's a big chiddush that even though we said that usually you need to make a tanai, you need to make a tanai kofel, but there are some cases, Tosfos in Kiddushin, in this Gemara, which we spoke about before, and in all around Shas, Tosfos are mechalek between different types of cases where very often you do not need to stipulate the Tanai Kofa. You don't need to say clearly both Stodim of the Tanai. Both Stodim, that if it doesn't work out, you want to retract or you want to change something later. Not always. You only need a Tanai Kofa, says Tosfos, if it's not clear on what you want. It's not clear what you want out of this Tanai. For example, someone, the case of the Mishnah of Tanai Kofa is when someone says, let's say I'm a Kaddish Yew, makes a Kiddushin on condition that you give me 200 Zuz, on condition that the Isha gives 200 Zuz. So that's a Tanai. That wouldn't be a good example. That you didn't Tanai Kofa. So what would be an example of this? The example would be, let's say a person selling a nechosset, going to Eretz Yisrael, and instead of, he's not selling his property, he's selling his clothes, right? He sells his clothes, doesn't want to take his clothes to Eretz Yisrael, it's a hassle. And in the end, he doesn't end up going to Eretz Yisrael. Then Tosfos says that, then you wouldn't need a Tanai Kofa. That means then you wouldn't need to say that if I don't end up going to Eretz Yisrael, I want the clothes back. Why? Because there it's not clear, because it could be, even though you say, I'm selling the clothes because I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And what happens if you don't end up going to Eretz Yisrael? Not necessarily you want the clothes back. It could be that you're still happy with that the sale should still go through. So you left yourself, I'm sure he left himself some clothes. And he'll, with the money he'll buy, he'll go to find the sale and save some money and buy new clothes. Not necessarily does he want the sale of the clothes to be null and void, even though he did originally sell it. So then you need to say closer, then you need clearly a Tanai Kofa. But if I'm selling out after Eretz Yisrael, and if I don't go to Eretz Yisrael, then I want to be choiser on the sale of the clothes. However, in our case, says Tosfos, where he's selling his whole property, he's selling his whole house, he's selling all his assets, everything he has, all his furniture, everything. He sold everything. Then, says Tosfos, then you don't need a Tanai Kofa. A Ginu Milsa is enough. It's enough just to say, if you don't say anything, then it's Tavon Shabbalik. But if you just Megaladas, and you tell us, you know why I'm selling this? I'm selling this to go to Eretz Yisrael. Then, says Tosfos, that's enough. If you don't end up going to Eretz Yisrael, then you can retract on the sale of your furniture, of your house. Says Tosfos, why? Because this is not a problem with Dvarim Shebelev. Dvarim Shebelev is only a problem when we don't know why you're selling it. It could be that you're selling it to make some money. It could be that you're selling it because you want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We don't know. It's not clear. It's a Dvarim Shebelev.
Who pays the expenses? If you sold your property and you decide you would, there's lawyer's fees, etc. Who pays? And you take it back again?
You can, in the case where you can take it back.
You made it tonight. And I'm sending my property to the bank, so I'm not paying it. So I'm the property back now.
Right.
Who pays all the expenses?
The buyers have expenses. That's your question, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, if he's
letting
himself in for the expenses in case the
better.
Yeah,
if.
Yeah.
So therefore, maybe
the
new thing is
taking. Yeah, the buyer knew is taking that risk. The buyer knew that risk. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, in this case, if he's selling it al-das, he says clearly I'm selling it because I'm going to Israel, then it's poshut, says Tosfos, he doesn't need to Tanai Kofa. Because it's poshut, a person doesn't want to go, he's selling it al-das to Israel, he doesn't want to end up with no roof over his head, no furniture, nothing. So therefore, it doesn't come into Tanai Kofa. There's a called a klal of beliboy kol odon. It's not a problem of voluntary relay. There's a klal of voluntary beliboy or beliboy kol odon. It's in everyone's heart. Everyone knows when someone sells something to go to Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't end up going, he wants his house and he wants his furniture back. No one can live without anything. So therefore, there you don't need to speak out both stodim. Tonight you can take it back. So the Rav said that was shut. Go back to our case of this. Selling this this sale between the incoming tenant and the outgoing tenant, we said, he needs to add money afterwards. Either sale was done without any conditions, without any stipulations, but now we understand why he needs to pay the extra bit, because even though he didn't make a Tanai, but we see from this Tosfos that in a case where you just Megaladas, what you're doing here, and then we take on, then everyone understands why you sold it, Aldas, why you sold it, then you don't need a Tanai Koffel. So therefore that's Peshat in that case. He was Megaladas, that he's only selling it to do him a favor. He's selling this incoming tenant, he's selling this money as a favor for him. So therefore, he didn't want to lose any money out of it, so therefore it's poshut. Everyone understands if it comes out on a later date that he wants to lose, that it's going to come out that it's cost more money, didn't want to lose out any money, and we have to pay, and the incoming tenant has to pay the difference of the money. So therefore that's pshat in that psak. So just to make a quick sukkum of what we're holding, so there's three stages. If a normal case, cases where it's sold, if you didn't say anything in the mechira, even if you're selling your house or your furniture, if you didn't say anything b'shas the mechira, then even if you don't end up going to Eretz Sol, it's devorim shebelei bein devorim, and it has no relevance what was in your mind b'shas the mechira. If, however, you were mishus megaladas, you know why I'm doing this? I'm selling this al das to go to Eretz Sol. Then that's enough to retract on the later date if you don't end up going to Eretz Sol, even though you didn't make a Tanai koffel with two stodim of the Tanai. However, if you're selling, let's say he's selling his clothes to go to because he doesn't want to schlep it to Eretz Sol, then it's not clear that you want to retract. It's not so clear that you want to retract on the sale just because you don't end up going to Eretz Sol. So then you need a proper Tanai koffel, which means that you have to say clearly, I'm only selling the clothes on condition I go to Eretz Sol. But if I don't go to Eretz Sol, I want to retract on the sale of the clothes and take it back. So last night I saw an interesting story in the sefer of Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein, who's the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv, and he's got very interesting different Torah, very interesting stories, lots of different shilas which come up the whole time, and in the sefer, and I saw last night a bit nagaya to the shilah, which he takes it really to another stage. We've spoke about a few stages, he takes it into another stage. So the interesting shilah, I don't know if it's a Maisa Shehoya or not, someone gave a present to his friend. He gave a car to his friend, and Nebuch, this friend, started using it on Shabbos, and he didn't know what to do. The giver, the Loisen, said, I never gave a present to my friend Aldas that he should use it on Adat Tohochi, Aldas this, that the Makabal should start using it on Shabbos. I never gave a present for that. So therefore I want to retract on the whole Matona. Can I retract or not? So Yitzchok Zilberstein says, He makes a chiluk. So, what's the question? You didn't say anything. You gave him a matana. You gave a present. You didn't start telling him, don't use on Shabbos, and if not, give it back. He didn't say anything. However, it's not so poshut. So he wanted to say, if at the time of when he gave the present, then this Nebuch, he didn't realize this person was taka already at the stage that he's using it. Use these Mechal Shabbos Nebuch, and he's using on Shabbos. He said, then you can take it back, because Adat Tohochi never wanted to give a present to a Rosha. Someone who's Mechal Shabbos is a Rosha, and Adat Tohochi never gave it. And even if he didn't say anything, B'shas Mechira, even if he didn't, this is a fourth stage, we find here that even if he didn't say anything, B'shas Mechira, then that's Posha to everyone, person felt a normal. Shomer Torah mitzvahs doesn't want to start give presents, especially, I don't know, cars, definitely not, doesn't want to start giving cars, big presents to Rishoyim, we use it on Shabbos, after the hockey, everyone understands that, that's not a problem to Devarim Shebelev. However, he says though, that if this person, let's say this person started using only, it was Shomer Torah mitzvahs, and then only 5 months later he started using it on Nebuch, don't know what happened, Lo Aleinu, terrible thing that he started using on Shabbos a few months later, then you can't, even though now he's doing a big Aveira with his present, then he can't retract. And he wanted to bring a raya from the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that if someone gives a present to someone else, to Reuven, and he says, Reuven, after your nifta, then it should go to Shimon. And then what happened? Reuven was a chevraman, so he started, he got all the chosim now, and he started selling it and selling it and eating it up, and he didn't leave anything for the second person after he was nifta. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, and that's the halacha, that he can't leave anything, it doesn't matter. Even though nothing's left, doesn't matter. Even though the original person wanted to give the present to the second person, nevertheless, if nothing's left, the first person left nothing for the second person because he ate it up when he gave it away. Whatever's left is left. Whatever's eaten is gone. Whatever's sold is gone. And there's nothing you can do about it. Says the Gemara, that's the halacha. And even if we're talking about that he gave him a present of avodim, servants, and he freed them. That's the case. And he freed them. The second one can no longer, after the first one's nifta, the second one who was supposed to receive the present can no longer go and can't go and get those avodim back for himself. Says the Moritz Poshet. Why are you saying even avodim? Even servants. So the Gemara says, you know why? Because avodim, to free avodim is an aveira. Brings a posset there, to free avodim is an aveira. We're not supposed to free avodim, it's over nasei. So you might think that the original person, when he gave the avodim as a present to these two friends of his, to Reuven and Shimon, he never gave it aldas that they should do aveiras with these nechosim. He never gave it aldas. So therefore you might think that the whole original matana to the Reuven, to the first person, was in the scene of a toss, because he never gave it adas to give it to him to do aveiros. Says Mok Mash Malon, he doesn't have such a taina. The Gemara doesn't explain why the ins and outs. Maybe the Rishonim do, but he doesn't explain. So he, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, wants to say in a sefer from here. You see, this is at least the opening to the sugya. That you see from here that if someone gives a present to someone later on, he starts doing aveiros with that matana. You can't have a taina that I never gave out al-das that you should do aveiros with my nechosim. So therefore, he wants to say in this case, it's not so poshut that he can retract from the sale, even though he started doing aveiros with the car which he gave. But from there, you see another shlav of the thing and dvaran shugalev, that there's some cases where even if you don't say anything at all, but there is beliva kol odom that you can retract. If it's beliva kol odom that he didn't give al das hochi, that the person wouldn't give a rosha, doesn't want to give a shorim peasant, then he can retract straight away. So, but just want to end off maybe with a short story which I heard yesterday, that from here we see how careful we have to be with our dibur and our maisa, because we say dvarim shebelev and dvarim, what you're thinking and what your das is doesn't really help. We have to be careful. Whatever we do and whatever we say, that's going to have a kiyum. So I heard the story yesterday. It's not mamish spot on to this sugya, but showing how careful we have to be with our dibur. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he was 80 years old, he started growing long payas, and someone came up to him, "My hi, what's going on?" So he said, "I'll tell you the truth. When I was 20 years old, when I was young, I was a young Rav, and someone came up to me and says, 'Rabbi Yaakov, you're now becoming a Rav. I think you should, grow payas. Azovi is the normal thing for Choshev Rav thing. So long the payas.'" So he said, so he didn't know what to answer. So he said, "Look, this is for 80 years old, when you're on a high madrega and you understand in yonim, maybe when you're 80 years old, I'll think about it." And that was it. He was happy with the answer, and he went on. And 60 years later, Rabbi Yaakov actually turned 80 years old, and he remembered what he said. When I'm 80 years old and I'm on a madrega, then maybe it's for me. And I said it, and I have to keep to it. Titan Emes Liakov, he was a man of Emes, and he kept all his word. Even though in his heart, Taka, it was Dvoron Shevelev, because he didn't really mean it. He just wanted the answer. He had to answer it. But he kept his word. And because keeping our word and showing our mouth, should all be zoicha to go up to Eretz Yisrael and be zoicha to appoil to go up to Eretz Yisrael to greet Mashiach and Meir Yomeinu Amen.